during that point. So you might say, well, no, I think God's holy and he has no part in sin. Therefore, judgment plays a big part because he has to judge sin. So someone says to you, yeah, but what about forgiveness? They're like, no, 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 that's just too bad. That was too bad for somebody to have done that. So judgment wins. Maybe it's that God is all powerful and therefore power has to win. We major on the all-powerful nature of God. So often we make a description of who God is based around our wants, our preferences, and we kind of build a God. Have you ever been to the shop Build-A-Bear? Do you know the shop I mean, Build-A-Bear? Been in shopping centres? So you go into this place. We have a little Build-A-Bear here. This is Bella's Build-A-Bear. It is a rabbit, but it's still a teddy bear in my books. So this was Bella's Build-A-Bear. So you go into the shop and you've got all these different kind of skins that you can choose from, rabbits and I don't know what else, teddy bears, I guess. And you can choose which one you want. She's still skulking out now because she knows you've been... And you choose the skin and you even get this heart. Now, we didn't spend a fortune on it like you can, although that was still like 40 quid or something ridiculous. So you can get this heart and you give it a kiss and you give it a rub so it'll always love you and always have a warm heart towards you. And then you get it put inside and they stuff it. And then you see this array of clothing. So we went for the single happy birthday T-shirt. I say we. This was actually a gift. We didn't do it at all because you really do spend a fortune in that shop. But you can then clad your bear in whatever you want. There's so much stuff. And then you're actually given a birth certificate at the end of it. And your bear is born. And that is how the shop works. And you can accessorize until your heart's content. And then you have your bear at the end. You've built your bear based on your preferences. Based on what you want, you've got your bear. How often do we build a God? How often do we build a God on our preferences, our wants, our needs? We look at the multiplicity of possibilities and say, I'll take a bit of that, and I'll take a bit of, but I don't like that bit, so we're going to leave that bit over there. We won't talk about that bit, but oh, I really like, let's add that bit in, because that's what I want. We need to be very careful when we come this morning and talk about the nature of God. God is nothing like us. And so I want us to approach this subject of looking at the nature of God as all-powerful with an element of humility. I think the question that's submitted is baffling. Is if God is, how much arrogance is there in that question? If God really is this, I'm not saying the person that wrote the question is arrogant. The person that wrote the question said that people at the school are asking that question. So but if God really is this. So I think as we explore this question, I just want us to read Isaiah 40, verse 12 to 15. It says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? This is talking about God. And marked off the heavens with a span, and closed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him counsel? Whom did he consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are counted as dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. What is God like? Well, he's nothing like us, is he? You read that, he is nothing like you and he's nothing like me. He is totally other to us. We're created, he's uncreated. We can't even begin to fully comprehend who God is. In fact, if you look through scripture, you read portions of scripture where these people had encounters with God. I was thinking of Ezekiel 1, and it says, as I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north and a great cloud of brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually. And in the midst of the fire, as if it were gleaming metal, and from the midst of it came likeness of four living creatures. Do you notice when people talk about the God, they're constantly saying, well, it's kind of like this. It was sort of like that. Because I've got no frame of reference to describe what God is actually like. So I've got to describe it in terms of things that I understand. Ezekiel goes on and says, for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro. It's like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what it is I'm looking at, but it's kind of like this. God is so utterly not like us. So let's get back to the question. If God is so powerful, can he make an unopenable box, which even he cannot open? If that is so, he is not all-powerful as he cannot open the box. But if he can open the box, this proves he's not all-powerful as he cannot make an unopenable box. How are we going to answer? It's like, my goodness, that blows my brain straight away. It's like, there's no right or wrong answer. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to say. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to put it in your hands. Hands up. Do we think God is all powerful? Hands up if you think God is all powerful. Hands up. Hands up if you think God is all powerful. Hands up. Okay, most of it, I think the room, those that get what I'm saying, let me just, you should have put your hand up. I think we all agree. Psalm 147 verse 5 says, great is our Lord, abundant in power. His understanding is beyond all measure. Do you know, I read one commentator that says this. He says, God's power is unlimited and what no creature can compare with, much less contend with. I was like, man, God sounds like a superhero, doesn't he? Doesn't God sound like the greatest superhero on the planet? If I wanted a superhero in my camp, I want God in my camp. Because we're kind of obsessed with superheroes, aren't we? Superhero movies galore. And we have this Spider-Man, Superman, and they do all this stuff like flying and getting web out their hands and saving people and kissing girls upside down. I'll let you figure out which superhero that was. If you've seen the film, he does it upside down. It's amazing. But we just love these superheroes, don't we? But then we have to go one step further and we have like Superman versus Batman. Who's going to be the greatest superhero? And we base it on who can do the most stuff. So who's going to be more powerful that can do the most stuff? So if Batman is going to beat Superman, he's got to be able to do more stuff and outdo Superman in his powers and vice versa. And if we bring that understanding to God, then the logic is God being all powerful, that means God can do everything. Quick show of hands, who thinks God can do everything? Okay. Ian, could you just grab me that piece, that board over there? I've got some bits of paper here. We're going to do a bit of group work. Is that okay? You look thrilled by that. I've got 8 pieces of paper that I'm going to give out. So I want 8 groups, okay? So I'm just going to give these out to different people and you can kind of gather around. You cannot. Sorry, Siobhan. So if someone, a couple of people get, maybe a couple of people each piece of paper. Meg, if I give you one. One at the back, David. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to interact and get with people you may not know. It's all good. It's all fine. Robin, one there. One back here. There you go. One there. Okay, gather around somebody with a piece of paper and read it and see what it says. Okay? I'm going to give you 2 minutes because otherwise this really is going to go on all day. So give it a read. Okay, give me a little glance when you've read the passage. Yep, read the passage. I'm going to ask you this question. I'm waking up. If I turn the mic down, I can still shout then, can't I? I'll let you tell. I don't know which one it is. Okay, I'm going to ask you this question as you read that passage. What can God not do? So reread that passage. What can God not do? And then we'll feedback in a second. Just give it a read. Discuss it with your group. Okay, who's got Hebrews 6:18? Hebrews 6:18, somebody got? Somebody should have Hebrews 6:18. Okay, what can God not do? Oh, okay, it's right at the start. Okay, we'll come back to that one. Numbers 23:19. Somebody got that one? God cannot lie. Interesting. So we know God cannot lie. Hebrews, that should be a big clue to Hebrews. Is there something in there about not being able to change his mind? Interesting. Well, we won't come to that this morning, but it is an interesting one. That's a question for Ian to tackle another week. Jeremiah 31:3. Anything in there that you think God cannot do? Is it something about an everlasting love in there? So his love lasts forever. So he can't stop loving. So that's something God can't do. He can't stop loving. Okay? Psalm 89, verse 34. Who's got that one? Psalm 89. You got that one as well? Fantastic. What can God not do? So I'm going to call it break a promise. Just because it makes sense to us all. Malachi 3:6. Malachi 3:6. Who's got that one? Sorry, Micah, is it? Oh, I've written down Malachi. Sorry, Micah 3:6. Someone got that one? Great. What's in there? Again, God cannot change. Do you want to go back to Hebrews? You got that one? Cannot lie. So we've got that one again. So it's really interesting, isn't it? How about Acts 10, 34, 35? Someone got that one? Acts 10. What can God not do? Great. I can't spell partiality. Partiality. We'll go with that. Deuteronomy 31, 6. Deuteronomy, anyone got... So I'm going to say he can't abandon you. Okay, last one. Isaiah 40. So he cannot get tired. Cool, you can grab your seats. So let me ask you the question again and a show of hands. Is there something God cannot do? Raise your hands if you think God can do everything. Interesting. But he can't lie. And he can't change his mind. He can't stop loving. So there's certain things that God cannot do. So God cannot... We'll get into questions later on. God cannot... We'll get into questions later on. Seriously. If we have time for FAQs at the end of FAQs. Because I'm building a case here, okay? There's certain things that God cannot do. Seriously, by his nature, there's certain things that God cannot do. Let me just explain this. God is all powerful, absolutely. But it's within the framework of two things that I just want to explore over these next few moments. And I've got so much stuff that we can get through, so I'm going to try and filter out. But this is an opportunity for you to go away and explore. This is what I love about Sunday mornings more than anything. You got a question, then ask it. Fantastic. Go and study it. Even better. God is, in his all-powerful nature, God is consistent. Do you know I love raising my kids? I really do love raising my kids. We've got is he 9 weeks old? About 9-week-old, and then a nearly 3-year-old that's going on 13, that's got the attitude of a teenager, slamming doors and all sorts of stuff. But she is starting to get opinions and wants and likes and dislikes and all that kind of stuff. And recently she's just started biting her fingernails, which drives Cara mad. I'm not so fussed about it, which you'll find out in a minute why. And I'll be saying, Bella, stop biting your fingernails. You shouldn't bite your fingernails. It's really bad. But if you know me, I'm the worst at biting my fingernails. Because you see, it's do as I say, not as I do. Don't you do that. It's all right for me to do that because I'm grown up. But you know, if you bite your fingernails, then all the fingernails are going to grow in your stomach and you'll end up with a toe in your, you know, just the stuff you tell your kids is terrible, isn't it, to stop them doing things. But stop biting your fingernails because it's do as I say, not as I do. But God cannot be like that. God cannot say one thing and act completely differently. He always acts in complete consistency with the content of his character. So God is pure, God is holy, therefore can God lie? Can God stop loving you? His word says that his nature is that he is loving you with an everlasting love. So can God stop loving you? You might say, well, if we go down the route of God being able to do everything, I can lie, I can tell a lie, God can't, therefore I'm more powerful than God. Because I can tell a lie and he can't. As if being able to tell a lie is a strength. It's a sign of power. Ask somebody that you've ever lied to whether that was a positive thing that you did in their life. Is it a sign of somebody's power that they're able to do everything? I need 2 volunteers now, okay? I want, who's the youngest in the room other than Reuben? Youngest in the room, what age? How old are you? 15? Okay, fight it out between you. Who wants to come? You ask the question, come on up. And I want who's like the butchest guy in the room? Come on. Ian. Yeah. Ian, come on, Ian. Give him a round of applause. Well, that was a pathetic round of applause, wasn't it? Okay, I've got 2 paper clips here, okay? I'm going to give you 15 seconds, okay? And I want you to turn that paper clip into a square circle. Ready? Go. Do it. Try it. I'm timing you. That's a square. Well done. Square circle.
There's no such thing as a square circle.
Okay, so we've determined that that's certainly not a square or a circle.
That's an
E. And that's definitely... Thank you, guys. Give them a round of applause. I could bring in the heavyweight champion of the world, the most powerful man on the planet, to try and make something into a square circle, and it couldn't be done. C.S. Lewis says this: something that makes no sense doesn't suddenly make sense because you put God in there. A square circle doesn't exist. It can never exist. We haven't made it possible to exist just because we put God in the middle of it. His omnipotent power means to do... Sorry. His omnipotence means power to do all that is intrinsically possible, not to do the intrinsically impossible. So in the same way, for God to make a box he couldn't open, he's restricting his nature, therefore he'd be contradicting himself. It simply can't be done. It's a question that can't even be asked, because it can't possibly be done, because he would have to contradict his nature to be able to even do it. God cannot make anything that defies his nature. It would be intrinsically possible for God to make a box he couldn't open, because it would go against who he is, in the same way that God could not make a square circle, because it literally, logically does not exist. So the clever ones amongst you will then go, all right, how about miracles? What about miracles? And your point is, miracles absolutely don't happen every day, but they're not impossible. They're improbable, absolutely. But we knew that because they're called miracles. But what God does in a miracle is restore sight to the blind, give walking back to those that are lame, put the breath back in the lungs. Things that were meant to be as they were always meant to be, and he restores it back to what it was. So we're not saying that that miracle is intrinsically impossible. Improbable, absolutely. And God majors in the improbable. In other words, a miracle might not be explainable, but it's not impossible. Giving the blind eye sight, or the lame the ability to walk, or even raising the dead, is simply restoring that which could have always been. So when we read, O Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you, Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 32. God is all-powerful and can do whatever he wills, but his will is limited by his nature, because his nature is perfect. Therefore, his will is perfect. Isn't it great to be able to worship a God who never acts out of consistency with his character? Do you know, I've had bosses over the time. When you walk in, you don't know what they're going to be like during the day. Have you ever worked for somebody like that? Kind of a little bit, you're walking on eggshells because you just don't know what they're going to be like that day. Never like that with God. You're never walking on eggshells with God. Because we know that he will never lie, never change his mind, never stop loving. He will never change. He will never break a promise, never show partiality, never ever get tired. So on the second note, he is consistent. And number two, he is self-sufficient. His all-powerful nature means he is completely self-sufficient. I was doing some gardening the other week. Doing some gardening and just generally just destroying stuff in the garden. I haven't figured out how to construct stuff in the garden, just destroy things. So I'm digging holes, and I went, you know when you bend, when you get up and you go really, really lightheaded? Have you ever had that? And the whole world starts spinning. And I realize my nature is a completer finisher kind of person. So when I start something, I want to finish it. Therefore, I'm keeping going. Cara's like, John, have a drink. I'm like, no, I'm going to keep going. And it's then that I realize I probably haven't eaten or drunk enough. And suddenly my head starts spinning. Do you think God needed to stop for a little bit of a drink when he flung the stars into space? Do you think God needed to stop for a nice ham and cheese panini when he was landscaping his garden? I don't think he did. I don't think he did, because his all-powerful nature says that the power he needs is found within himself. He doesn't need to look to an outside source to renew his strength. He doesn't go, right, guys, just stop with the why's. I just need to put my feet up for 5 minutes and have a little bit of a rest, just to make sure I've got enough grace for tomorrow for you. God never needs to do that, because his power is found within himself. Another great writer, A.W. Tozer, says, all his acts are done without effort. He expends no energy that he must replenish. His self-sufficiency makes it unnecessary for him to look outside of himself for a renewal of strength. All the power required to do all that he wills to do lies undiminished within himself, his own infinite being. Do you know what? God's enough. In fact, God isn't just enough. God's more than enough. Everything you could ever possibly need is found within the person of God, displayed to us in the person of Jesus Christ, then given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. God is more than enough than you will ever need. If you feel this morning like circumstances are too much for you, you're worn out, burnt out, beaten up, feeling like you've got no strength left, or let's be honest, when that season comes, which it does for every single person at some point in life, He is sufficient, and your weakness is His opportunity to perfect His strength. Isn't that amazing? Paul knew this. Paul knew that within his weakness, there was an opportunity for God to show His power. So you can be asked a question, and it's like, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what to say. It's okay, because God's bigger than that. God is bigger than any baffling question you could ever be asked. Ian, can you just come up and start to play, please? 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says about this thorn in the flesh, talking about this thing that he's got. Scholars will debate about what the thorn in the flesh is. We probably know that it wasn't a thorn. You know, he hadn't brushed up against a rose. But there was something in his life that he knew God could have taken away. God's all powerful. God could have taken that away and restored him back to what he should have been. But he also said, you know what, I know that if God was to do that, then I would become arrogant and filled with pride. Paul knows his own weakness, and he knows he needs that restriction in his life. The fact that God didn't take it away doesn't mean that God isn't all-powerful. We all raised our hands, and I raised my hands with you. God is all-powerful. But then Paul goes on to quote Jesus, and he says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Not your ability, His grace is sufficient for you. In the midst of your weakness, maybe it's weakness brought on by age, maybe it's weakness brought on by your stupidity, somebody else's actions, in your weakness, His grace is sufficient for you. God is sufficient. God is consistent and sufficient. Just breathe that in for a minute. He will never change. He loves you with an unending love. And He is the source of all the strength that you will possibly ever need. Everything you will ever need in life is found in Him. All of Him is more than enough. So you might be there going, God, why haven't you changed this circumstance? Feel like I'm caught in an unopenable box. Can I tell you, church, we need to let Him out of the box. And you even need to let yourself out of the box as well. Because we so often construct this God that works in a certain way, in a certain path, in a certain method every single time, and we box Him in. God wants to break out of the box in this church. The unopenable box that we put Him in, He wants to break out of. But there's something that Paul got. My grace is sufficient for you. Your power is made perfect in weakness. Paul got something. He understood that God is more interested in his character than his comfort. And there'll be stuff we go through and we're praying, God, you're all powerful. You need to take this out of my life. And God's saying, it's not going to happen. Because perhaps God has made us with weaknesses, so we always have a bended knee to be reminded just how powerful He is. In this circumstance, God, I can't do this without you. Ah, don't let me box you in, God. Don't let me box you in, because you're more powerful than I am. Your grace is sufficient. And in your weakness, isn't that the oxymoron? People ask the question, if God is all powerful, then He can surely do this and do that. But the Bible says God's all powerful, therefore he's going to raise up the weakest things in this world to shame the wise. He is going to take the weak things like you and me, and he's going to use us to reach the ends of the earth. In our weakness, his power is made perfect. Should we stand together? You can have assurance in who God is this morning. A God who will not lie. He cannot lie. He cannot abandon you. He cannot change his mind. He cannot stop loving you. He cannot break a promise. He's not tired this morning. Oh, Sunday morning, fog eye. It's like, just give me 20 minutes and I'll start singing a song because I just need a coffee and to wake up. He doesn't need that. Trouble is that this world want to see all the miracles and see all the signs. But you know that doesn't actually solve the problem. It says in John 12:37, although Jesus had performed many signs in their presence, they still did not believe him. It's not the miracles that draw people to him. But in your weakness, his power is perfected. Just means fulfilled, accomplished, completed, finished. It's the cry that Jesus gives from the cross. It is finished. It's the same word that he uses. So this morning, if you need to just be reminded who God is, about his nature, about who he is in you. Maybe you've written yourself off because of insecurity, because of doubt, because of fear. Maybe you've written God off because he didn't do what you asked him to do in a certain moment. God is all powerful, consistent, self-sufficient. His grace is enough. Just in this moment, I'm just going to invite Holy Spirit just to move amongst us. Just to fall afresh. Because in all that you face, in everything you're facing right now, he's more than enough. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. So this morning, do you need to acknowledge him? Maybe you need to acknowledge him for the first time. Maybe you need to re-acknowledge him and say, do you know what? I've been trying to do this with my own strength. And then, do you know what? For some reason, it hasn't worked out. It's funny that, isn't it? So just ask, every eye closed. Do you need to acknowledge him, his power, his strength in your life? Maybe for the first time, maybe again, I'm just going to count to three. I'm just going to ask you, just raise your hand if you need to come back to him, surrender your life to him and say, God, I surrender to your all-powerful nature. One, God loves you. Two, you'll never be the same again. Three, just raise your hand if you need to acknowledge him in your life again. Amen. Do you know God gives you everything that you need to accomplish the task he's called you to? You may feel God's called you to something and it's like, God, if only you give me that, if only you give me that gift, if only you could equip me with this or that, then everything would be okay. Then it would all make sense. But he's given you the power of his Holy Spirit living within you. So right now, if you just need an outpouring of his Spirit in your life, just put your hands out in front of you, like you're receiving a gift. Holy Spirit is a gift to us. So right now, as hands are put out in front of, we just ask, Holy Spirit, will you fall afresh? Lord, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit. looking around the room, if you're not in a place where you need to receive ministry this morning, I'm just going to ask, just lay a hand on somebody that's got their hands out in front of them. Just put a hand on their shoulder and just start praying for them. You don't need to pray out loud. You can just pray in it, just for them to know that someone is standing with them and praying. If you don't need to receive this morning, I'm encouraging you to give. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. We need you. By your power, Holy Spirit, you come and perfect our weaknesses. It doesn't mean take them away. It means use your strength with the humility as we offer ourselves, weak as we are. Will you use us? Don't let fear write us off. Don't let anxiety write us off. Don't let the things that people have spoken over our lives write us off. Holy Spirit, pour yourself out in abundance. Don't let circumstances be the thing. Pour out your presence, Lord.
Giving you my dreams, I'm laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. Surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as loss. For the sake of knowing you, the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain, I surrender, and I surrender all to you, all to you. Within, lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, I'm laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to struggling, and I surrender all to you, all to you, and I surrender all to you. Surrender all to you, all to you.
Lord, help us not just to sing it, but to live it. That we surrender all to you. Give it all over to you again this week. Lord, we will again tomorrow morning and the morning after that. And Lord, I thank you that your mercy is in you every morning. So Lord, as we close this morning, will you just be with each one of us by the power of your Holy Spirit living in and through us. Let us draw closer to you this week than we have done before. Let us be more like you today than we were yesterday, tomorrow than we are today, for your glory. Let's just declare, strength will rise, and we'll close with this song. Guys, you want to grab a tea or coffee? Then we're going to close with this song, but please feel free, grab a tea or coffee. Say hi to each other. And enjoy the sunny weather and the British team winning all the gold. Amen.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait. The Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait.
Strength will rise.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, our God. Give strength forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I declare over you this morning. I declare over you peace. I declare over you prosperity. I declare over you health. Hallelujah. I declare over you sound mind this coming week as you wait upon the Lord. May His fullness be your portion this week in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everlasting God. Everlasting God. You do not change. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. May you know His peace this week. May you know His closeness this week, His tender care. May you know His strength. May you know His refreshing power. May you know His plan for you this week. The God of heaven and earth that draws close to you. Hallelujah.
He loves you.